forecast. Another warm day on the way for today, while clouds breaking for sunshine. And we'll turn out less humid this afternoon with a high of 84, but we should see very few clouds by the end of the day today, and that'll lead to a mainly clear sky tonight, and it will be more comfortable as well. Tonight's low 58 inland to 66 lakeside. And then for the weekend, some really nice weather on tap. We'll have low humidity and a lot of sunshine both tomorrow and Sunday. High near 80 tomorrow and a high of 79 on Sunday. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Brian Thompson on your radio friend, AM 1400 WRJN.
Time now on WRJN for a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Attorney Cabranes is here to talk about and answer legal questions. For 20 years, Cabranes Law Office in Racine has specialized in traffic law, including OWIs, immigration, family law, and criminal defense issues. And now John Cabranes is here on WRJN to talk with you, our listeners. In a few moments, we'll be giving you the number if you'd like to call in.
That's some pretty groovy music.
I know, I'm just too hip. Gotta go.
Totally hip. Welcome in to this edition of the Cabranes Law Hour on WRJN. The phone number's to call for all your questions legally related at 634-WRJN. That's 634-9756. It is Friday afternoon. It's 11 minutes after 1 o'clock. We're coughing, we're laughing, we're enjoying. It's time to call and talk to the attorneys of the Cabranes Law Office, 634-WRJN, 634-9756, with any question you have for attorneys. John Cabranes, good morning, Mr. Cabranes. Good afternoon, rather.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I have no complaints, but thank you for caring enough to ask, because I know you are a very caring man.
I am. I'm just...
Little more in front of the microphone there, sir.
I just ooze warmth.
You do. You really do. I really believe that. We also have the Cabranes Law Associate, Shanaz Lakdawala. Shanaz, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And Jordan Schrader is back in the house. How are you?
Good. I'm back. How are you?
We missed you last week. I'm doing great. Thank you.
I missed you guys, too.
What were you doing last week?
I was in Nashville.
Nashville, Tennessee?
Mm-hmm.
Was it hot in Nashville?
It was very humid, but I loved it. I love warm weather, so...
I do too.
That's
why I moved from Florida back to here.
That was not the smartest decision I've heard.
It's been pretty smart for me. You've got to know the circumstances, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You're right.
Oh, I'm fine.
Need some water?
No, I'm good.
You know, one of the things when people watch trials on television, not fictional trials, but actual trials on, I don't know what they call it now, but it used to be Court TV. Or even things, I mean, very famous trials like the O.J. Simpson trials, is they assume that they know the case based on the little amount of information. Like Jordan just said, that it was not a smart decision for him. It was a very smart decision for me to move. Not weather-wise, I'll give you that, but that was just one aspect of the trial. How many factors go into understanding what's happening in a trial? If you're an attorney or a judge, it's one thing. But if you're looking from the outside, what do you need to know in order to make a decent decision about your opinion on a trial?
You just got to watch. You got to watch from beginning to end. You got to watch all of the details. I mean, you know, there's the spoken language where, you know, you ask the questions, you get your answers, and you try to bore in on something. But, you know, you also got to look at body language. Body language tells a huge story. And in fact, not just listen to what they're saying, but how they're saying it. You know, if they come across with, aggressively, supposedly impartial witnesses who basically dig in their heels and don't want to give you anything, show their lack of partiality. And you might be able to convince the jury at that point that these are not impartial people, that they got some kind of axe to grind. It's all part of the skill of being a trial attorney. And honestly, there's no substitute for trying cases. Because, I mean, you go to school, you take a trial advocacy class, and they show you the macro level how you handle a trial, but the details are in the wind for the most part, and so when you start doing them and you do them regularly, It's like any other skill. I mean, you hone those skills and you get good at it. You know, I made a decision fairly early on in my career that I was going to try cases because there's plenty of lawyers out there that won't try a case.
All right, time out. A, why did you make that decision?
Because I didn't want to be one of those lawyers that won't try a case.
But why did you want to try the case besides that?
I think it's also because he really loves trial. Like, it's fun for Mr. Cabranes, Attorney Cabranes.
Well, for me, it is fun. I mean, because I have nothing to lose. I love going to trial. And I'd be in trial, you know, every week if I could. But the problem is, of course.
Because you like to put on a show.
Well, I like to put on a show, but I also.
Did you see George's response to that?
Yeah,
I totally agree with that.
Well, I do like to put on a show, but you know,
if you're a trial lawyer, you're better like to put on a show.
Yes, and you also, you know, trials are a blood sport, and I'm a very competitive person. I don't like to lose. So if my client says I want a trial. Then I'm gonna go in and I'm gonna go in, you know, both barrels blazing, and we're gonna see who comes out. But it's kind of like a gunfight in the old West. I mean, you got the prosecutor who stands up, and you're at the other end of the street, and you're just blazing away at each other, and one of you is gonna walk away, and one of you isn't. You know, and that's just the way it is. You know, I haven't. This is an honest to God true story. I have lost one trial in the last 5 years. And I try quite a few cases. And I'm not talking about little misdemeanor cases. We're talking about I've had recklessly endangering safeties where I had six witnesses that claimed to see my guy open fire on a group of people, and he was acquitted. We've had sexual assaults where people have been acquitted. So these are big cases. And honestly, in both of those cases, I was the second attorney in that case. And actually in one of them, I was like the third attorney in a case. The other attorneys had recommended pleas, and the guy didn't want to plea, and they were pushing him to plea. And my position is you got to do the time. So it's your decision. So if you want to go in and you want to duke it out with these people, we'll go in and duke it out. Not a problem.
And Attorney Cabranes is a great trial lawyer. And I don't just say that because he's my boss, but I mean, I think.
But you do say it a little bit because he's your boss.
Well, I think his relaxed nature really helps too. It helps with the client know that they're getting good representation, and it helps the jury realize that these are real people too.
You're competitive, aren't you, Jordan?
I am. I'm a high school sport person.
Yeah, so I knew it. Athlete, your eyes lit up when Attorney Cabranes talked about the fact that it's a competitive thing. He doesn't like to lose. Mm-hmm. Shanaz, you're competitive as well, aren't you?
Yes, to a certain degree. I think I'm pretty competitive.
You know, there isn't a trial attorney that's worth a damn that isn't competitive. If you're not a competitive person, you shouldn't be trying cases. Go do contracts. Go do happy law. Trials are about winning and losing. And if you don't care if you win or lose, you shouldn't be doing them.
We are going to get to letter B, why most attorneys don't want to do trial law momentarily. But we are taking your calls this afternoon at 634-WRJN, 634-9756. Any legal question that you have for the attorneys from the Cabranes Law Office on the Cabranes Law Hour on WRJN. Caller, you are on the air with the attorneys. Good afternoon.
This is Alan, and I would like to talk about this Waukesha pouring sewage in our river here. I would like to know if we can start a class action lawsuit against Waukesha, and I would like to know the name of any attorney, who something like a Bruce Cutler, who would just crucify these guys for doing it.
Well, you're talking environmental law, and environmental law is a specialty in and of itself. And that's not something that we normally do. But I'll tell you what. I do have a database of attorneys, and that database is kind of divided up in many cases by areas of practice. So if you want to give us a call, probably the best time to do that would be sometime Monday. Give us a call at 262-638-0529, and I'll be happy to give you a name of somebody. Are you calling from Racine?
Yes.
Okay. I'll be happy to give you a name of at least one lawyer that I know in Racine who has a very good reputation, and his area of specialization is environmental law. And so they can give you an idea. You know, the problem with environmental law is you've got so many different actors that play a role in that. You've got the federal government with the Clean Water Act. You've got the state DNR that gets involved. And so you've got to sort of wade through these regulations. And so you need somebody who does that on a regular basis and knows their way around environmental laws, because, you know, that's one of the areas, and there's a lot of areas in the law where, you know, if you don't have a significant experience, if you can't get the information at the top of your head, it's probably not the guy that you want to be involved with, because, you know, you need somebody who lives and breathes it, who deals with it on a daily basis. And we don't deal with it on a daily basis. In fact, we've never dealt with something like that, so we're not the people to help you out.
But maybe you should, though. Have you ever seen Aaron Brockovich?
I have seen Aaron
Brockovich. That was an environmental situation, wasn't it?
Have you ever seen the movie A Civil Action?
The answer to your yes or no question is no. Please inform me.
That's a John Travolta movie where they went after a very Beatrice. Large... I'm sorry?
Beatrice was the name of the company.
That's right. They went after Beatrice. And the movie doesn't really give you the flavor that the book did. In the book, the firm actually went bankrupt because it had to fund all of that litigation. So when you deal with these environmental issues, and when you deal with some big companies, for example, suing Waukesha County, you know, they've got almost not quite, but they've got almost unlimited resources to fight you. So you need to have some people who A, know what they're doing, and B, have deep enough pockets so that they can basically go toe to toe with these people. But give us a call. Give us a call.
I'll do that, because I kind of figured that. See, I used to sail this lake, and I had a piece of information years and years ago that most people don't have here, and that's that the Coast Guard considers this river navigable right up to the dam up at Northwestern, which puts this under the inland and river rules, and that's a whole different, that's like the Department of Commerce or the Department of Interior, and I don't think they even talk to them.
Well, that may be, and you know, that's something that, you know, you got to go to the right guy, because, you know, when you go to the right guy, they not only have the legal answers for you, but they also know where to look for them. You know, the dirty little secret about the law game is that, you know, we know some of the law, but most of the time when you get into some esoteric area of the law, we're going to the law books and we're going to the law library, and we're basically boning up on what it is on this particular issue. So that's, you know, that's another reason why you should deal with people who have an expertise in that, because they know where to go. So that's what I would advise you to do. Just give us a call. Like I said, 262-638-0529. We're there from 8:30 in the morning till noon, and from 1 to 5, Monday through Friday. Give us a call, and I'll be happy to ask for me, and I'll be happy to give you a name of somebody who can help you out with that.
Great. Thank you, sir. You have a great day.
Thank you. You
nice
too.
Day.
Thanks for calling, Alan. Now that number is available to you to call at 634-WRJM. That's 634-9756, 634-9756, to talk to the attorneys of the Cabranes Law Office. One would think that not only with environmental law, but in so many other specialties, that it's really hard to focus on one area. I mean, that is a class action lawsuit. That's trial law.
It is.
So how do you decide which specialty you're going to focus on?
It just works out. I mean, you may have an interest in environmental law for the sake of argument, and you may have taken a course of studies in law school which highlighted environmental law, and so you're at least armed with some of the basic information on environmental law when you come out. And then the issue then is you try to find a job with an environmental law firm, because I got to tell you, you know, you try to hang your own shingle right out of law school, and you want to say, I'm going to take no other cases other than environmental law. You're not going to survive very long. So usually what happens is that it's kind of almost an apprenticeship type of situation where you would go out of law school, you'd go into a firm that does this kind of work. You're basically carrying some other attorney's bags for a couple of years and doing the research for that attorney, writing the briefs for that attorney. Somewhere along the line, the law firm lets you start handling some small cases. You get enough of a reputation, you get a clientele, you hang your own shingle.
He is John Cabranes. He is the Cabranes Law Office with, as well as Shanaz Lakdawala and Jordan Schrader. They are also attorneys. It is the Cabranes Law Hour. We are taking your phone calls at 634-WRJN, 634-9756 on all things legal. Caller, good afternoon. You are on the air with the attorneys.
Hi, I hope you mean me. I have a situation where I don't quite understand. My grandson was hit with a garbage truck in Racine.
With a garbage what?
And a garbage truck. He backed into my son on a motorcycle, my grandson. And we had a witness, so it was definitely the garbage truck's problem. And luckily, he wasn't killed, although the driver was sitting crying because he thought he was dead.
Wow.
My son went with him to the courthouse and to see about getting some legal money or fees or what's going on. And they said, well, they would give him $50,000, but that would be tops, and that they don't have enough insurance that that's a top that they pay for insurance. In other words, they aren't insured to pay out more than that. Well, that doesn't make a bit of sense.
So what
does
so,
it to you?
So what's your question specifically?
Well, is there a law firm or a name of a type of lawyer that would fight a city?
Oh, sure. It's called a personal injury lawyer.
That's what they do.
He talked to a few, and they said that the city only pays so much, and that by the time they got done representing him, that they wouldn't make enough money because of the limit of what the city can pay out. So it wouldn't pay for the law firm to take the case.
Well, somebody will take that case. Let me just say somebody will take that case, and I'll ask you and I'll give him a free plug. Tom Durkin over at Becker French and the Matthew, or actually it's now Becker French and Durkin, I think.
It's your hour. You can plug anybody you want.
That's
pretty
good,
much.
Good point.
Pretty much.
I don't have the number handy, but if you just look up Becker French and Durkin, or look up Thomas Durkin. You know, or you want to give me a call at the office, 262-638-0529.
Whoa, wait a minute. 262-638-0529?
Yes, ma'am. If you want to do that, and I would advise you to do that on Monday. And then what I do, I'll give you Tom's number. Here's what the problem, here's what they're talking to you about, okay? The problem is, and when did this accident occur?
A year ago.
Okay. You might be out of luck, but you need to talk to a personal injury lawyer. And here's why I say you might be out of luck. Wisconsin has what's called a notice of claim requirement. You have to file a notice of claim with the government entity within 120 days of the incident occurring. And then what happens is they have, I believe, 6 months to deny that claim. If they don't act on the claim within 6 months, then it's considered to be denied. And then you have 6 additional months to then file that claim. Plus, there are also limits on how much you can sue a municipality for. And so what winds up happening is the notice of claim requirement is set up only, essentially, to create things that you can trip over and then not sue municipalities. Those are firm deadlines that if you miss any of those firm deadlines, you may be out of luck. But since I'm not a personal injury lawyer, I want you to talk to a personal injury lawyer to get some advice.
Okay.
Give me a call.
Yeah, I will. And can I ask you, how would the average person know what you just said about
Great question.
You know, the harsh truth is that the average person probably has no clue, and they don't have a clue until they go and speak to somebody who does know about it. And so, you know, honestly, when you try to take care of something yourself against a municipality or against an insurance company, you know, they're going to take every advantage to try to reduce their exposure. And so, you know, if you're dealing with a municipality, they may drag their feet if there's no lawyer involved, if they don't see a notice of claim that's popped up. So my advice to anybody who's listening, including, you know, if you ever have the misfortune of having something like that happen again, is, you know, don't wait. Just go talk to somebody, because even if it's not a personal injury lawyer, most lawyers at least know to refer you to a personal injury lawyer. And on top of that, the state bar has a lawyer referral line that, you know, you can call them up. They'll send you out to, they'll give you some names of some people in the area that you can talk to, and at least get some information. But you're right, it's unfair, because the average person has absolutely no way of knowing that.
That's why we need attorneys. Hey, ma'am, can I ask you something?
Sure.
How's your grandson doing?
Well, they knocked him for a loop, and he had a concussion, broken leg. I don't know. I think it's going to come back to haunt him later on, these injuries. But
well, you've got the number at the Cabranes Law Office, right? Because if there's any possible way to direct you or to help you, they'll be able to do that. The number again is 262-638-0529. And thanks for calling, and wishing you nothing but the best.
Thanks for being on the air. Finally, something worth listening to. Okay.
Thank you, ma'am, you realize I'm on the air 5 hours every day, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. Here's something worth listening to. The great Tom Carco in the news coming next on WRJN.
Fountain Hills Apartments is preparing for information overload. Fountain Hills is hosting
etiquette questions from Real Simple Magazine. And number one, you receive a wedding invitation that doesn't include the name of the person you've been dating for a long time. What do? It's okay to ask if your partner can go. Just be prepared for the bride to say no. And next, if you're invited to a bridal shower but can't go, are you required to send a gift? Sending a gift is a nice gesture, but you're not required to. And finally, from our experts, if you're getting married and you invite somebody to your engagement party, do you have to invite them to the wedding? Well, you have some wiggle room if there's a long time between the party and the wedding, but for the most part, you should plan on inviting your guests to both events. I'm John Tesh with today's Intelligence for Your Life Minute. More stories like this on our website, itstesh.com.
Time now on WRJN for a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Attorney Cabranes is here to talk about and answer legal questions. For 20 years, Cabranes Law Office in Racine has specialized in traffic law, including OWIs, immigration, family law, and criminal defense issues. And now John Cabranes is here on WRJN to talk with you, our listeners. In a few moments, we'll be giving you the number if you'd like to call in.
The Cabranes Law Hour is brought to you by, ironically, the Cabranes Law Offices, LLC. No attorney-client relationship is being created. This show is intended to provide legal information and not legal advice. The attorneys have neither the time or the information during this show to fully review your particular legal issue. Be aware that in some cases, time limits may apply in the prosecution of your case, and you should seek legal assistance as soon as possible. Cabranes Law Office, LLC makes no representation that the information provided today has specific application to your particular issue. And now the phone numbers are available to you to talk to the attorneys from the Cabranes Law Office. It's 18 minutes to 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon, 634-WRJN. That is the number to call. Give us a call with any legal question. We've had a couple interesting ones already. 634-WRJN, 634-9756. That puts you in touch with attorney Shanaz Lakdawala, Jordan Schrainer, and attorney John Cabranes on the Cabranes Law Hour on your radio friend. So, first of all, before we get back into the legal issue, we have to ask Jordan and Shanaz. So, what do you think about John Tesh's opinion on marriage or wedding etiquette? Do you think that was fairly accurate, or?
No, I don't. I think if you invite someone to your engagement party, you have to invite them to your wedding, unless there's some sort of fallout in between the two.
Do you have any experience with this, Jordan?
I don't, but I'd probably agree with that. Unless there's something like majorly something that happens, then yeah, you should invite them.
But he said if there's enough time frame between the engagement party and the wedding, mm-hmm. then you might be able to have some wiggle room.
I don't know. I feel like an engagement party would be something that you'd have closer people. It's a smaller event, I would think, than a wedding. And if they're at your engagement party, then they're definitely close to you and they definitely deserve to be at your
wedding. It's a very good point. But here's the question. Should there be laws established on these issues?
No, because I think it's up to people to decide what they want to do.
She's Shanaz Lakdawala, Jordan Schrader. And they are with the Cabranes Law Office. John Cabranes is in the studio. You look very sharp. Well, you always look sharp. But you're particularly buttoned up today with your suit and your tie. What's going on?
Oh, I just had court this morning. So, you know, you have to go in and you have to dress the part when you go to court.
You look attorney-ish. Normally, like last week, well, you are the number one Los Angeles Kings hockey fan in Racine, Wisconsin. That's for sure. That's what goes without saying. So you looked like a hockey fan last week. But, yeah, the attorney thing definitely fits you well.
Well, you know, you can't show up in a Hawaiian shirt and shorts in court. The judges might frown on that. So, you know, when you put on the tie, you put on the jacket, you know, and comb your hair and go into court.
Jordan, did you break your pen?
No. Just open the cap.
Oh, it sounded like you broke your pen. Yeah. When Attorney Cabranes said Hawaiian shirt, it went crack, and I thought.
I was just shocked he was wearing a Hawaiian shirt. I mean.
Well, he's not wearing a Hawaiian shirt right now.
No.
Although the tie looks a little, there's a lot of patterns in that tie.
Yeah, it's almost like a Rorschach test.
It is. All right, Jordan, look at Attorney Cabranes, if you could look at Attorney Schrader there. What do you see in Attorney Cabranes' tie, Rorschach test-wise? First thing that comes to your mind. What do you see?
I see a fence.
Your name isn't Schrader, Lakdawala. What do you see, Jordan Schrader?
I see just...
Talk in the microphone, please.
A mess of everything. I don't see anything in particular.
You see a hot mess is what you're saying.
Oh, no.
In our first segment, we talked about the fact that you are willing and desirous even to do trial law. But you said most attorneys don't.
Well, I didn't say most. I said there are some attorneys who won't.
Why is that?
Well, because it's a lot of work. you know, when you think about it, I mean, you know, you're getting paid. It's easier to just resolve it with a plea than it is to actually put your case together, do the investigation, mm-hmm. and then go do battle.
But if you're a trial attorney, you can do pleas all the time, right?
Well, you look, the reality is that probably 8 out of 10 cases are going to wind up playing. And in fact, that probably more than that are going to wind up in a plea because either the state folds and gives you a reasonable offer, or the client's facing too much time to go to trial and they don't want to go to trial for whatever reason because they're afraid that they're going to get the full boat if they go to trial.
What does that mean?
Well, you know, there's an unwritten rule that you always get more time if you go to trial and lose than if you take a deal. So, you know, if you've got a case that, you know, you're being offered 7-8 years in prison and your maximum penalty is 40, you're probably going to be, you know, wondering if you should take a deal. Now, that's, you know, the problem is that's one of the reasons why district attorneys sometimes overcharge, because they want to put the fear into you so that, you know, when they come and make what they believe may be a reasonable offer to you, you have the incentive to grab that offer and run because, you know, otherwise you're going to spend the bulk of the rest of your life in behind bars. So, you know, so that's one of the reasons why you would go to trial is just, you know, your client really controls whether you go to trial or not.
What do you mean by that?
Well, my job prior to trial is A, get the case ready for trial, and B, advise my client. Okay, you know, there are some cases, you know, if there's video of the client committing the offense. You know, there are some cases that are tougher to try than others because they've got more evidence, they've got more quality witnesses, they've got, you know, they've got something that can really put a torpedo into your client. On the other hand, there are some the he said she said cases where there really is, you know, not much in the way of evidence, and it's just the third degree sexual assault is a good example. What most people would normally consider to be something like rape, she says he raped me. He says no, it was consensual. So now the issue is, who do you believe? And really, that's what trials really boil down to. And I think I've said this on the air before, and I'll say it again. Trials are not about facts. I mean, you can throw out all the facts in the world. You can make up your facts, for all that's worth. But the reality is, trials are about credibility. And so, if you blow your credibility in arguing something that is clearly not true, your client's going to lose. And the same thing with the state. If they blow their credibility by putting up witnesses that quite frankly are compromised, they're probably not going to win because the jury just isn't going to believe one or the other of you. That's part of the art of going to trial is to not only be reasonable, but to show the jury that they can believe you. And a lot of it has to do with what evidence comes in, how you present the evidence, and not overreaching on these things.
How many trials have you done, do you think?
I used to do, when I first started, I did a lot. I would do 5 a year. Normal is about 1 or 2 a year. Over the last few years, my practice has taken me sort of into other areas where you don't get to try cases as often. I would say I still probably, I've tried one this year. I know I'm going to have one either next week or the week after. So I'm probably going to wind up trying somewhere about 2 or 3 this year.
How many trials have you done so far in your career, do you think?
I haven't counted them, but I would say probably, if you're talking about criminal trials, I would probably say between federal and state trials, probably somewhere between 50 and 60.
Wow. And if you had to say, just off the top of your head, what is the most memorable one and what happened?
Oh, well, I was one of the 6 idiots who went to trial on the United States of America versus the Latin Kings, which was the largest RICO prosecution, federal RICO prosecution. And by the way, if you don't know what RICO is, it's an organized crime law.
What does RICO stand for?
Racketeering and I forgot what the R is. Racketeering is the R. Organized crime is the CO. I forgot what the I is.
But, my bad.
But that's okay. But essentially, they started out with 36 defendants. 6 of them went to trial. I had one of the 6. The trial lasted 8 weeks, and it was just it was not to be believed. The amount of work that went into that trial. From the day that these guys got arrested to the day they went to trial was about 2 years in preparation. I had, and still do, by the way, because my wife keeps on telling me that I got to clean out the basement, but I had roughly between 30 and 40,000 pages of police reports.
Holy moly. He is John Cabranes. He obviously has a tremendous ability to focus. 30 or 40,000. We're taking your calls. There's still time to get in on the Cabranes Law Hour. It is 8 minutes until 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon. 634-WRJN is the number to call with any legal question. You got a legal issue, you're wondering about something in your life that obviously most things in life at some point are going to cross over into the legal. 634-WRJN, 634-9756 is the number to talk to the attorney. Shanaz Lakdawala, Jordan Schrader, and John Cabranes on the Cabranes Law Hour.
I just wanted to add, an attorney's job is to evaluate your case and let the client know what what happens if they would take this to trial? What happens if they would plead? What, you know, do you lay out the options the client has? But at the end of the day, it's the client's decision on whether or not they want to take this to trial and take a chance, or, you know, it's their decision ultimately.
If you
lay it out for them,
Jordan. If you think that they're that they have a good case. Now, we hear what John said, we hear what Shana says, but if you think they have a good case and they don't know what to do, do you make the case to them, or do you literally just present the facts and let them lay it out there for them?
You would want to tell them, you know, what you have that works for them and what you have that works against them, and kind of lay out the facts, show them what they have and what they don't have, and let them decide, but also tell them maybe what you would do if it
was you.
Right.
So you do try to influence a little bit if you feel like they have a strong case?
I guess I don't like the word influence, but
what word do you like?
I would give them my opinion on it and tell them this. If I think it's a good case, I'll say, yeah, I think this is a good case. I think that we should go for it. But at the end of the day, it's up to you.
John, have you ever had a case where you really thought that a client had a great case? Not a slam dunk, because I know there's no such things as that, but they decided to plead anyway?
Sure, sure. And
how does that affect you emotionally as an attorney?
I don't like it. I usually have a conversation at some point with the client saying, look, if you didn't do it, don't plead to it.
Mm-hmm.
For the reasons that we just discussed a few moments ago, you know, sometimes the district attorney will pile every charge in the world on you. It's not one of these things that you can sort of work out a deal on some of the charges and go to trial on other charges. Usually it's a package deal. You have to sort of analyze, okay, this is what I think of the case. I think that, you know, we've got a good case here. I can't guarantee you that you're going to win. But if you lose, this is what your exposure is. And sometimes when they hear some of those numbers, they freak out. I mean, I had a guy about 10, 15 years ago. We didn't go to trial, but he was facing 104 years in prison.
Holy moly.
And eventually the district attorney came and they realized that their case was a little wobbly. And so they came down significantly. Actually, they came down to misdemeanors. He wound up doing time served and got out. But that was one of those cases that, you know, he wound up taking the misdemeanor plea because he just was too scared to go to trial. Even though I thought he had a great case, he was too scared to go to trial and face 104 years in prison.
So he just got lucky, pretty much.
No, I mean, you know, the job of a defense attorney is to point out, look, here's the thing. You know, in a perfect world, which we certainly
Did he go to trial?
No, he did
okay,
not.
Okay, so he just, I mean, you were encouraging him in a sense based on your expertise, but they eventually, the prosecution's case fell apart, you said.
Well, the prosecution's case definitely developed some leaks in it. And, you know, you try to tell the client, look, I think you've got a decent shot. You go to trial. You know, any attorney who guarantees anything to a client is blowing smoke at him. You can't guarantee an outcome to a client. But you got to use the amount of experience that you have to sort of make a determination. Do you got a shot here? And then the client has to make that determination. And so, you know, they have to do a cost-benefit analysis. And the cost-benefit analysis is, you know, do I take a couple of misdemeanors which put me in jail for 6 months, you know, or do I go to trial, run the risk of winning, in which case I've got nothing on my record, I'm done, or I lose and I get 104 years in prison. And honestly, you know,
do they have cable TV in prison?
I'm sure they do, actually.
just wondering, just out of curiosity. You're having a field trip coming up pretty quickly, aren't you? You guys are headed from the Quality radio station to a Quality correctional facility. You said
I am. Right after this, we're going over to KCDC because we've got a trial on Monday, and the state of Wisconsin just yesterday, after my guy's been in custody for the better part of 9 months, just yesterday sent us some new information, which might show that he actually didn't commit the crime. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're still not going to dump the charges. But now it's my job to, A, stop the process until I can investigate this new information. And it's certainly information that I think is going to be very helpful, because this case is going to trial. It's just now a question of whether the DA drops the charges or whether we get an acquittal. I think we got a really good shot, especially now with this new information. Mm-hmm. And let's see what happens.
Do they have air conditioning in there, Shanaz?
No, they do not.
No AC?
No.
No, but
not in the little rooms that we use to speak with our clients.
But what about cable?
I'm not sure about cable.
How's the food?
And about bologna sandwiches, from what I understand, in some of these cases.
Well, I can tell you the one time I spent a night in jail, my entire life. What are you laughing about, Shanaz? I'm telling you what happened.
Okay.
1980, I was arrested at a Grateful Dead show at the old Mecca in Milwaukee, and I got stale white bread and one piece of bologna.
Yeah. It still is the jail fare. You know, you may get a sandwich, maybe you get two sandwiches with mystery meat.
Only one.
What if you're a vegetarian?
You go white bread only.
You go white bread, yeah. White bread and mayonnaise.
You'll be watching the Packers this weekend? Anybody?
Probably.
I got another radio show to do, so I'm not going to be...
You do. You speak Espanol on that radio show.
I do. 11:30 in the morning to 12:30 in the afternoon every Sunday on 104.7.
We won't talk about our competitors. But we would like you to wish our listeners on your radio friend a wonderful weekend en Espanol, por favor.
Tengan un buen fin de semana.
That was
Have
beautiful.
A good weekend.
How about in Hindi? Can you do that in Hindi?
In Hindi, it's... Oh my God!
Oh my God! She doesn't speak Hindi.
Aap logo ko bahut acha weekend, mubarak ho.
Wow, nice. And in Wisconsinite, please.
Yeah.
Have a good weekend, eh? Is that Canada?
No, that's in the north.
That's a Uper. That's a Uper.
Listen, the local number to speak to the Cabranes Law Office in Spanish, English, Hindi. What other language? You guys have a bunch of languages, don't you?
Gujarati.
Is 262-638-0529. That's 262-638-0529. You guys, good luck at the prison today. And you get some lunch before you go. You don't want a bologna sandwich, I'm sure.
Thank you.
This has been a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Get your questions ready and tune in again next Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock for your chance to call in right here on your radio friend, WRJN.
Your radio friend is AM 1400, WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, a Magnum.